so good to be with you. Here we are again. And it's nice whether it's in person or if you're watching us online. Welcome. We're glad that you're here. Just a couple of things before we get into the message today. And that is, tomorrow there's something a little different. So on Sunday, second service, we're going to be doing drive-in church. Now, it'll still be regular church service, second service, so you'll still be able to come in the sanctuary if that's where you'd like to be. The worship will be happening in here, but we're going to broadcast the worship in on the FM, the channels listed in the bulletin there. I don't know what the station is. And so you can come and stay in your car. If maybe you're feeling like you don't want to come to a place in a building where there's people, you can drive up in your car. You'll be able to listen to the worship in the comfort of your car, and then I'll do the message from the front step, trusting that the snow and the wind and the cold will be over by tomorrow morning at 10:30, right? So that'll be fun. If you know of anybody that's hesitated to get out to church, but this would be a way they would come, why don't you give them a ring or drop them a text and let them know that this is happening. And if you want to look a couple of weeks ahead, look in your bulletin. We don't often put a picture of somebody in the bulletin, but there's a picture of someone in there, and it's Pastor Emily, because in a couple of weeks, we'll be having her commissioning send-off missionary service. It's going to be awesome. You don't want to miss that. Check out the details of that in the bulletin. All right, so just want to bring a close to our Mountains Will Move message series. Where we've been looking at some of the miracle stories of Jesus. They all just sort of happen to be in the last week of his life here on earth. And there was one of them where he told his disciples that if they would just have faith and believe and not doubt, that mountains would be picked up and cast into the sea. Mountains would move. And this series has also coincided with our 21 days of prayer and fasting time, where we've invited the congregation to participate. So I know that some of you here have done that. The ones that are more bright-eyed and more fit-looking, they're the ones that have probably been working on the Daniel fast for the last 21 days. But I know that mountains have moved, and I've heard a couple of testimonies, and we actually have someone here that's going to give a testimony even right now. Tom Horn texted me the other day, and just wanted to, well, he texted more than me. He texted a few people. So, Tom, why don't you come up? And he's going to share briefly about a mountain that has moved as he and Carol have been fasting and praying. And you can take your mask off when you talk if you'd like. Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Hi. So last week or, I don't know, maybe 10 or something days ago, we got a message from our daughter that our first grandson, Aiden, when he was born, he was 2 pounds and had one kidney, and it's kind of been an uphill battle for him. He was having lung trouble, so they transferred him to Phoenix Children's Hospital, which is a specialty care hospital there. Anyway, they found what's called a malrotation in his stomach, which is a twist in the intestines, and it causes bowel blockages, and it's usually or almost always corrected with surgery, and for someone that little, it's not a good thing. So we prayed, Carol and I prayed, fasted, and I sent a mass text out to a lot of people sitting here actually, and a lot of people prayed, I know that, and it was the Monday after our daughter contacted us and said, "Were you guys praying?" And we said, yeah, and, you know, a lot of people were praying. She said that the surgeon couldn't figure it out and the doctor couldn't figure it out because it was gone, completely gone. So God is good.
Thank you for sharing. Yes, awesome. So, yeah, it makes a difference when we pray. And things happen when we pray that likely wouldn't happen if we weren't praying. And so let me just encourage you, even though the fast is over, technically, you know, this, if you've participated in something like this and it's taken you deeper in your walk with the Lord, then, you know, try it again. It doesn't have to be just designated by the church. You can pick up on something like that on your own. And so we praise the Lord together. Now, you might be saying, but Pastor Hollis, I've been fasting and praying and believing and not doubting, and my mountain is still firmly in place. I just want to encourage you today. Be patient. Persevere. Keep the faith. That's kind of the subtitle for the message this weekend, is keeping the faith. And I think in our own human nature, patience does not come naturally. Right? That's why we need supernatural help. There was a story about a lady and her four-year-old daughter who were driving in the car, and the woman accidentally beeped her horn, and she turned to her daughter and said, "Oh, honey, I didn't mean to do that. I did that on accident." And her daughter said, "Yeah, I know, Mom, because you didn't say 'you jerk' afterwards." If it's true about something silly as driving, which, by the way, that's kind of my weakness. I don't have a lot of patience in driving. But if it's true for something silly like driving, how much more true, you know, are patience being tested when stubborn mountains aren't moving? You know, maybe it's a health thing or a relationship thing or a finance thing or an emotional thing or a spiritual thing or a pandemic thing. I don't know what it is for you. But you maybe have been praying and fasting and believing. And maybe that mountain still looks firmly in place. So what do you do about that? How do you hang on to your patience? How do you persevere? Well, I ran across some scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. It's a passage that just seems so like alive when I read it. And it seems so applicable to how to hang on to your perseverance. And so if you'd read with me, Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32, and we're actually going to bump into chapter 11, but Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 32, I'm reading from the NIV, and here's what the writer says: "Remember those earlier days, after you'd received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering?" Now, the Hebrews that were being written to here were under real trial and real persecution. Verse 33, "Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated." Now, here's what the impact of that really means. They were not necessarily singled out or being personally persecuted, but they identified themselves and stood right alongside those that were being persecuted. And then look what happens. "You sympathize with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property." Like, wow. "Because you knew that you yourselves had a better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved." And now, when you jump into Hebrews chapter 11, let me just remind you that the verses and the chapters are put there by editors of the Bible, not by the original writers of Scripture. So it does flow. One thought flows right into the next thought. And so here's what it says in Hebrews 11:1. "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on to write about those ancients that were commended for their faith. And we have the great chapter 11 of Hebrews, sometimes called the Hall of Faith, outlining the lives of many heroes of the faith. So, how do you find encouragement and strength to persevere when mountains haven't moved yet? Let me give you three keys for keeping the faith. Three keys. Here's the first one. And we find it in verses 32 to 34 of Hebrews 10. The first one is remember. Remember to bring to mind, become aware, and intentionally recall your early faith walk experiences. Hebrews 10:22, we read it just a little bit ago. Remember, that's the first word. That means to bring to mind, become aware, intentionally recall. Remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you stood your ground in the great contest in the face of suffering. So you're to remember, but especially remember in those light bulb moments when the light came on. So when it says there, when you received the light, the Greek word there is photizo, kind of like that word. And it means literally when you were illuminated or when you were enlightened or when you were made to see. It's like you had a sudden awareness. It's like those epiphanies. It's like the light bulb comes on and I now understand something I didn't just a second earlier, I didn't understand. And I don't know if your testimony is like mine, but that certainly happened to me when I first was presented the gospel in a very clear way, and the Holy Spirit was working on my mind, working in my heart, and I mean, I suddenly understood for the first time that Jesus died for my sins, that he loved me enough that he died for me, and that following him would be the best life that I could ever live. It's like I suddenly became aware of that and knew that for sure, that it was real. And then along my faith walk experiences, I've had those experiences along the way where you're just kind of listening to something. Maybe you're listening to a message or you're listening to a song or something, and all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. And it's like God is speaking directly to you. That's happened to me. I know it's happened sometimes by the grace of God when I'm speaking, because I've had people come up to me many times over the years after a message and say, "You were talking right to me." You know what that is? That's not me. That's not because I'm so clever or so amazing. It's the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And he's revealing his living word to you. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is talking about, to remember those early days when you were illuminated after you'd received the light, you were enlightened, you were made to see. Remember those days and let it encourage you to persevere. Sometimes those times are unexpected, but they're always encouraging and they're always faith building, and they should strengthen you to stand your ground. It reminds me of Psalm 77. Asaph wrote this psalm. I think he was going through a hard time. And I think he felt like maybe God abandoned him. But then in the midst of his writing this psalm or this song, he had a change of heart and he could suddenly see. He was illuminated. He was enlightened. He said this in Psalm 77, verse 7, "Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanquished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion?" And then the word Selah. Now, we don't really know what that means. It was probably a musical term. It could mean, you know, stop or pause or just think for a second. And then listen how he just turned his whole mind, frame of mind. "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds." What a great way to stay encouraged and to persevere. Remember. Bring it to mind. Become aware. Intentionally recall. All right, here's the second remember. Remember that the source of true and lasting joy is found in the Lord. Even in the midst of unspeakable difficulty, what these Hebrew believers were going through, tremendous persecution, having their things taken from them, some being thrown into prison. Hebrews 10:34, "You sympathize with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property." How can you be joyful when somebody's taking things away from you? Here's the secret to staying joyful always. It goes like this. Joyful always is not found in something. It's found in someone. Did you catch that? Joyful always is not found in something. It's found in someone. God is our greatest source of joy, and God is our greatest object of joy. It's Jesus' joy. Jesus said it in John 15:11. He said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, so that your joy may be full." Did you catch those two phrases? My joy and your joy. So whose joy is in you that creates your joy? It's Jesus' joy in you that creates your joy. If you're a Christ follower, this world is not your home. And joy doesn't come from the world. It comes from the Lord. Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, right? We'll stop there. There's seven more. Okay? But joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's not necessarily from you. It's from God. It's of the Spirit, in the Spirit, by the Spirit. Nehemiah 8:10, you've probably heard this verse before. Do not grieve. This was a time when the Israelites were going through a very difficult time. The city of Jerusalem had been destroyed. They had come back to try and rebuild, and they were getting some resistance in that. And Nehemiah says, do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So our true joy does not come from our accomplishments. It doesn't come from our circumstances. It doesn't come from our possessions, our job, our marriage, our family, our other people, or our health. Our true joy comes from the Lord. It's from knowing Him and walking with Him and serving Him. And here's a bonus. If the world didn't give it to you, the world can't take it away. The joy of the Lord. Okay, here's the next remember. Remember that God offers a better and lasting possession. Remembering this helped the recipients of this Hebrew letter persevere. It helped them immensely. Look at verse 34. This time, we'll read the whole verse again. Verse 34, you sympathize with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because, here's how, here's why, because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So if you're a Christ follower, like I mentioned before, this world is not your home. You're really just a stranger passing through. Some of us are stranger than others, but we're a stranger passing through this world. It won't last forever. It's temporary. Everything you see is temporary. It's what you can't see that's eternal. This is where we fix our eyes. On those possessions that are better and lasting. Matthew 6:19, Jesus was talking about this. He said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So here's a good way to evaluate where your treasures are. Where's your heart? Where's your passion? Where's your desire? Where are your affections? You know, how do you spend your time? What's your focus? How are you investing your energy, your resources? Are they connected to eternal things? Connected to your relationship with God? These are the only things that will outlast your life. And this kind of mindset and this kind of focus will help you endure the difficulties of life. So the first key in keeping the faith is remember. Here's the second key. It goes like this. Do. Do. Because the writer of Hebrews here is talking about doing some things. He says, do hang on to your confidence during a test. So during a time of an extended trial, it's understandable that sometimes we lose our confidence. That would be natural. You might, you know, be thinking, I've been praying, I've been asking, I've been seeking, I've been fasting, I've been praying, and nothing is changing. My confidence is shaken. Well, if you're tempted to give up, listen to this verse again, Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. That's the faith part. That's the part that looks beyond what you can see, beyond your circumstances, and says, if I just hang on, my confidence will be rewarded. I should not throw it away. And here's one of the things that helps. You put your confidence in God, not in yourself. It's confidence in God. It's confidence in His faithfulness, in the truth of His character and who He is. For the Christ follower, our confidence, our assurance, our certainty, it comes from God and it is in God. It's not in self, because self-confidence most of the time leads to pride and arrogance, conceit, egotism, narcissism, self-importance. It's confidence in God. Proverbs 3:26, for the Lord will be your confidence, and He will keep your foot from being snared. So listen, okay? If you've checked out, check back in just for a second, okay? Because this is super important. Because this might be for you. It might be for you if you came here today. It might be for you if you're listening online. If today you came and you feel ready to give up, you feel ready to throw in the towel, you want to give up on God, you want to give up on prayer, you maybe are thinking of even giving up on a walk of faith, don't throw away your confidence. We need to remember that we shouldn't be led by our feelings. We shouldn't be led by our circumstances. Instead, we are led and we trust in the truth of God's word. And God's character. We submit and surrender to the work of the Holy Spirit. We're confident that God will either deliver us, He'll either answer prayer, or He'll strengthen us in the midst of the trial. Because God works together everything for our good. That's what the scripture tells us. He will bring you victorious to the end of this trial. He will not let you down. Philippians 1:6, a very familiar section of a verse. Paul writes, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It will be completed. Hang in there. Hold on. Stay strong. Don't give up. Don't throw away your confidence. Here's the next do. Do the will of God while you wait. Do the will of God while you wait for an answer. Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. So, if you're in the middle of a trial, now it's possible that you're sitting in the room or you're listening online and everything's hunky-dory, right? I say this every once in a while. Maybe everything for you is coming up roses and Reese's peanut butter cups. I hope it's true. But if you're in the middle of a trial, I mean, you're in a struggle, and it's like tough just to put one foot in front of the other, and you're wondering, what can I do next? Can I tell you what? Do the will of God. Do the will of God while you wait. Well, what's the will of God? Well, read the Bible, listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, God gave us the Ten Commandments. That's one place you could look. Jesus, when He was asked what was the greatest commandment, boiled it down to two things that really kind of summarize it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the will of God. So engage your life in a way that honors God and blesses other people. That's the will of God. And then there's a really famous kind of three verses that are one sentence in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 that summarize part of the will of God for us. This is a way you can live your life. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So if you're in the middle of a trial, you're going through a hardship, you've got that challenge that's dragging you down, how do you do the will of God? Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. Be joyful always. Hang in there. And can I tell you what? And I mean this truly. I'm not just saying this. I've been praying for you this past week that God would help you do his will. Because I think God wants to help you. I think he does. As a matter of fact, at the end of the book of Hebrews, in chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, is a powerful prayer. It's super powerful. It goes like this: May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus. So there's an example of something pretty amazing. That great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing in him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So in the midst of your mountain moving, but it hasn't moved yet experience, what can you do? You can do the will of God. Remember, do, and here's the last key, trust. The last key, trust. We need to trust, first of all, that Jesus' arrival will not be delayed. That's what it says in the scripture. Jesus' arrival will not be delayed. In a very real way, Jesus has already arrived. Spiritually, he's here. We're gathered in his name. Jesus said, whenever you gather, two or three, I'll be there right in the midst. We also know that when Jesus left, he said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send another, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, amazingly, when you give your life to Christ, comes to live inside of you, but then he also walks alongside of you. So in a very real way, Jesus is already here. But can I tell you what? I don't see him. Do you? I mean, like physically. I can't feel him. Where are you, Jesus? But you know what? There is going to come a day. And according to Hebrews, it's not too far away. The day is approaching and is very near, that Jesus will come back. Jesus is coming back. He will come back in the flesh. You will be able to see him. You will be able to touch him. And he's coming to rule and to reign, and he's coming to make all the wrong things right. And this is one way you can be encouraged in the midst of your challenge, and it can help you persevere. I mean, it's amazing. Out of the 260 chapters in the New Testament, there are 318 references to the return of Christ. That's an amazing 1 in 30 verses. Out of the 23 books of the New, the 27 books of the New Testament, 23 of them refer to this great event. For every prophecy in the Bible concerning Christ's first advent, there are 8 that refer to his second coming. We should be thinking about this. We should be talking about this. We should be allowing this to encourage us. It's real. It will happen. Trust in his eventual soon return and let it encourage you right now. It'll help you persevere. All right, here's the last key to help you persevere, to keeping the faith. And it's trust that Jesus will help you grow and advance. In the midst of your trial, or maybe even in spite of your trial, and maybe even because of your trial, you can grow in your spiritual walk, in your journey with Jesus. You can advance. You can progress. You can take steps forward. And God will help you. Hebrews 10:39, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but are of those who believe and are saved. So if we're not shrinking back, what direction are we going? If you're not going backwards, which way are you going? You're going forwards. You're moving ahead. You're progressing. You're advancing. You're growing. You're building. You're reaching Christ-likeness with your life. And sometimes God uses trials to do that. So trust him that he'll help you grow and advance. So as the worship team comes, and as we get someone into the prayer corner, here's how we're going to bring this in for a landing. Even though the fasting and praying time may be over, do not shrink back. continue to move forward. Continue advancing. Continue reaching. Continue building. Continue growing. I'm saying that like to you as an individual, but I'm saying that to all of us as a church family, that we would continue forward progress with God's help, by his grace, with his strength, to have faith to endure trials, to remember how God has worked in the past, focus on doing his will in the present, and look forward with expectation and anticipation of what's coming in the future, because it's so good. So I'm not done with this whole mountain moving faith thing. In the weeks to come, we're gonna do a little nuance shift, okay? And we're gonna go from mountains will move to mountain movers. And we're gonna continue this Hebrews journey and look at chapter 11 and look at those heroes of the faith. Okay? And so we're gonna pick out some of those names out of Hebrews chapter 11. You can read it ahead of time. And we'll do some biographical messages where we'll look at their life and see what we can learn from them and how it might strengthen our own faith walk. Mountain movers. So as we continue to drill down of what it really means to have faith, may God help us even now. Will you stand with me? We're going to sing one more closing song. And if you need personal prayer, we believe in praying always. Can I tell you what? The Spirit of the Lord is here. Even if you're listening online, the Spirit of the Lord is with you. And if you need prayer, don't be shy. Come forward, and Sky would love to join her faith with your faith. Okay? And something could happen. This could be the day that the light bulb goes on for you, or that your mountain begins to shift and it's brought to the shoreline and it's ready to plunge in. All right? In the meantime, let's trust the Lord to build our walk with him. No matter what our circumstances are, we're building. So let's pray together that God would help us. So, Lord, for those that are in that stubborn mountain doesn't want to move experience, God, whatever that is, somebody waiting for a miracle, praying, seeking you, God, trusting in you, believing, not doubting, exercising faith, but getting really discouraged. God, I just want to pray for that person right now, maybe here in this room, maybe listening online. Lord, would you help them? Would you strengthen them? Pray you'd give them the strength to remember. Remember what it was like when you were blessing and enlightening and strengthening and encouraging. Lord, help us to also to do, to hang on to our confidence in you and to do your will while we wait, God. Give us the strength to do that. Help us to trust and be encouraged by the great news of your soon return. And help us to know in the meantime that you still rule and reign, God. You're still the living God who does still answer prayer, still moves in people's lives, changes their circumstances, transforms their lives. Help us, God. Take us forward in you, that we would grow and not shrink back. Oh, God, help us. I thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you need prayer, you can hang out for that. God bless you. Thanks for being here. See you next time.